Today I'm going to be meditating on the story of the parable of the persistent widow, also called the parable of the unjust judge. So this is Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. So then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?'" Okay, so often this is considered a story about the persistence of prayer, and certainly that is what it is. That's what Jesus said at the very beginning. But what I think is really important to pull out is that this judge is not a type of God. He's a type of Satan, because it says that he neither feared God nor regarded man. So at this point, we can almost look at this as a parable of us insisting in the spirit on getting what Jesus died to give us. So in the garden, man gave Satan his authority, right? So Satan had power already as a demon, but the authority God gave to Adam, and then Adam obeyed Satan, not God. Therefore, Satan became the god of this world at that point. When Jesus died, he took the keys of hell and Hades and came back and gave them to us. And then we're told that when he was resurrected, he said all authority specifically in heaven and on earth was given to me. Therefore, and then he ended up giving the commission to the disciples after that point. So the issue is not so much one of power, but of authority. So in this particular case, it's an analogy of authority. The judge has authority over this widow. And in fact, he's the one who appears to have all of the authority. He is the one who has, you know, he's been invested with the ability to legislate. And this widow is the lowest of the low. She is someone who doesn't have a man to take care of her. And in this society, a woman in general isn't very highly regarded, but particularly a widow who doesn't have any covering over herself. Theoretically, this judge could run roughshod over her and could do anything. But in the Levitical law, God has provided for widows, and she is one of them. It says that widows are protected, that widows and orphans particularly are protected by the Lord. So this woman recognizes, she's got faith. She knows that God is the one who is behind her. So she is demanding of this unjust judge, "No, you'd better enforce my rights, because if you don't, someone is going to do it for you, and that's going to be God. He's going to be the one who's going to fight my battles." So just like James 4:7 says, submit to God. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. But it does say that even though he delay, so he says that he would not for a while, this is verses 4 and 5, if he doesn't immediately grant her request, but eventually he comes around and he does it. So if we look at this by way of analogy with the way that Jesus dealt with the demons. So if you're thinking of the judge as Satan, look at how Jesus dealt with the demons. And when he's dealing with them, he doesn't always, they usually put up something of a fight. So in Mark 9:26, this was the boy with seizures, and the 9 disciples couldn't cast him out. And then Jesus finally came back and he did. And when he commands this demon to go, in Mark 9:26, it says, "And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy looked like a corpse, so that many of them said he was dead." And this didn't bother Jesus, but it certainly looked like things got worse instead of better initially. So there was that example. And then there's another example in Mark 1:26, where Jesus is casting out an unclean spirit, and he says, "Be silent and come out of him." And then verse 26 says, "At this, the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out with a loud shriek." So it's like he's doing everything he possibly can to resist until the very last second, until there's nothing else he can do. But Jesus is the one who has the authority. He's got to go. So that was another one. And then in the story of another demon that's being cast out, this is the Gadarene, the man with the legion of demons. in Luke 8, 28 and 29. So when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So Jesus had already commanded this demon to come out, and instead the demon's talking back to him. So he's putting up a fight. And yet that's the same kind of a situation where in this particular parable, the judge, he's delaying. He would not for a while, but eventually he begins to wonder, is this, can I put up with this very long? So the translation here, it says, yet, and this is verse 5, Luke 18, verse 5, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. So that word troubled there is interesting. The word in Greek is hypopiazo. And that word is a conjunction of two words meaning under the eye. So Strong's definition is to buffet or antagonize an opponent as a professional boxer. The NIV will translate this phrase, lest she attack me. And there's the American Standard Bible translated as lest she wear me out. But it adds a footnote that says a better rendition of the actual word would be lest she hit me under the eye. What that sounds like is this judge, who has all of the authority over this woman, is afraid of her. And she knows her power. She knows that God is the one who is behind her. So he's not afraid of her. He's afraid of the one behind her. And she is the one who is resisting the devil. That is what it is telling us we should be doing in prayer. We should be resisting the devil, and he will flee. And he might not flee right this immediately. There may still be opposition, but he will flee. He has to. That is the way that it's set up. We have the authority now because Jesus got it back for us. And in this particular case, this woman had the authority too, because she was under the Old Testament covenant where God had provided justice for widows. So she had that faith. But if she'd remained silent, the evil judge wouldn't have helped her. It was because she continually came, and he was afraid that God was going to enforce the judgment on her behalf. She boldly resisted the devil, and he ran. So just like Jesus says in Matthew 11:12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and the violent lay claim to it. So in other words, yes, we have all of these things that God has provided for us, but they don't happen automatically. You have to mix them with faith. Just like the Israelites had to go in and take the territory when they were in the wilderness, they had to take the territory to go into the promised land and fight those giants in order to occupy the land. That is the exact same analogy for us. All of these blessings are available, but the kingdom of heaven requires us to violently take it by force. And I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about physical violence, violence against the devil, because we wrestle not against principalities, but against powers and rulers of this war, of this dark age. He is our true enemy. He is the one we fight against, and we demand what Jesus died to give us. And that is what this woman did. That is why Jesus then comes around and he says, and then he, meaning God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? So she is the example of faith. She is the example of what we are to do, to continue to demand that Satan get his hands off of what God died to give us. So one more time, I'm going to read this parable, Luke 18, 1-8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me or attacks me or hits me under the eye, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me, attack me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Okay, so I hope that was helpful to you. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.